God bless you today. I am so happy to be able to stand before you once again. I want to thank our pastors. Pastors Tumpkin, you are amazing. I think it's amazing that they can do everything that they do and still be accessible almost 24/7. Can we just give our pastors a hand? Amazing. Spiritual mothers and fathers. Y'all didn't know I was going to do this. I'm sorry. I know I just have to bless y'all every now and then. Amen. Well, how are y'all doing? Amen. For those of you who've never, ever had a chance to hear me, my name is Elder LaRon T. Clapp. Amen. And I know that many of you are ready to receive a home-cooked word. Now, there are a lot of preachers out there who carefully and eloquently pontificate the words and the mysterious mysteries of God and make that which is invisible known unto you in a precious and soft tone. And bless the Lord. I'm studied, but I'm not a quiet dude. So that dude ain't me. Amen. So it's just a disclaimer. All right. But what I have for you today is from the Word of God. So if you came hungry, the Word said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Did anybody come hungry today? Amen. 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 Well, praise God. That's enough people for me to go ahead and feed some folk. Praise God. I want to talk to you from the topic of resolution. Resolution. Okay? And I'm starting from 1 Samuel. I'm looking at chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to use that as a springboard, as a platform to dive into this word this morning. I'm looking in the New King James. Now, this message has changed multiple times. I promise to stay on topic, but I don't promise that all of these verses are New King James, okay? So if that kind of throws you off, just be prepared. This word has changed a number of times, but I finally got it right, I believe. Looking at 1 Samuel, starting at 30, going 1 through 8, and it says, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall overtake them without fail, and without fail recover all. Amen. Amen. So here we find David going through some really tough times. But it's not the beginning of tough times. David is in a position where he has fled from Saul. David is in a position where he is an uncrowned king. He's been anointed to be king, but he's running for his life. He's a king without a crown. There's another man who is wearing the crown that was prophesied to be his. There's another man sitting on the throne that he has right to. But there's a process to everything and a time for every season. And so he has fled from Saul. He has been running all over the place. He's a king hiding in the forests. He's a king and royalty, but hiding in caves. He's been forced to make allegiances with former enemies. And now, he had been doing pretty good for a while, even with all of this. Even with this dark cloud of issues that just seem to keep swarming and swirling overhead. He's trying to stay focused on that thing that's before him, but it's kind of hard to see the sun when you got so many dark clouds overhead. Has anybody ever been through a time in their lives when they realized that the Holy Ghost was on the inside of them? They realized that they have purpose. They realized that God has a plan for their lives, and they know the hand of God is upon every single move that they make. You know good and well your steps are ordered, but at the same time, you just have this swirling cloud of issues that just doesn't seem to want to go away. It's very difficult to stay focused on a word from God when you have unresolved issues overhead. So I just want to speak to you today about the topic of resolution. I want to talk to you about putting an end to undue stress in your life. Now, if you don't have any stress in your life whatsoever, then this message is not for you. I would advise you to stay tuned and take notes, because at some point in time, stress is likely to come. Amen. Your neighbor can probably tell you about that. But how stressful is it, though, with all types of unresolved issues? My position at job, I'm on the job, might get cut. You know, we cut 500 last year. We're cutting 1,000 this year, and your position is one of those that's on the chopping block. We have to meet and figure out if your position is going to be here next year. By the way, another 10,000 will be cut next year. So if you make it through this wave, there's still some things that may jump back up next year. You might have cancer. What do you mean I might have cancer? Well, there's this spot and there's, well, is it or is it not? Sometimes when it comes to issues like these that bring about concern, you'd rather just have a definite answer. Don't test me for cancer for 10 weeks and 11 weeks. Let me know now. Sometimes, you know, you don't care whether it is or it isn't. Just tell me something definite now. Whether you're going to fire me or whether you're going to keep me on, tell me now so that I can go about my business, okay? David had a situation where he prayed for the life of a child when he had gotten Bathsheba pregnant, and he wasn't supposed to be messing around with her, but you know how the story goes. He spent a long period of time laid out on the floor, wouldn't eat, wouldn't be raised, trying to find resolution to this issue. God said, I'm going to kill the baby. He done fell out in the floor, and you really, I heard it said before that you couldn't beat David at repenting. David just fall out and just cry and wet the whole floor up, and you just looking at David like, you messed up, but you do that again, boy. And David is crying, laid out for days for this baby that God said he's going to kill. But when the baby died and he perceived the baby was dead, he got up and went on about his business. Shocked people. But he just needed a resolution. Now, the thing about resolution is this, and one of the things I love about David is he's phenomenal at keeping his eyes focused. And if he falls off course, because he is human like the rest of us, if he has a tendency to fall off course, he refocuses, kind of like he's got his spiritual GPS corrected, and he just refocuses and recalibrates, and he goes on about his business. One of the things that David did was he had this unwavering ability to choose to worship. He had an unwavering ability to come back and to focus his mouth towards the heavens. Because in Proverbs 15:23 it says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. So some of the Psalms that you see in the book of Psalms, they were written while David was on the run. Some of the Psalms you see come from out of the mouths of caves and out in the wilderness. Some like Psalms 57. And I'm going to just read the whole thing because I love how the resolve of David changes the attitude of David, and how the attitude of David directs the works and the behavior of David. Amen. So Psalm 57, and starting at verse 1, it says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake my lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. He said, I'm going to get up and beat the dawn before praise. I'm going to worship and wake up the earth. I'm not going to let the earth wake me up with the sun. Hallelujah. Waking up creation with my praise. I will praise you, O Lord. Among the peoples, I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Let your glory be above all the earth. Let your glory be above all the earth. You have to ask yourself when you're going through these type of trials and these situations, are you trusting in his glory for deliverance, or are you trusting in your own strength? If you look at the psalm in depth, and I read the whole thing for a purpose. If you look at the psalm, it's equal parts praise and worship and letting God know my trouble. It's equal parts giving God glory in advance and making my request known unto God. Equal parts thanksgiving and supplication. There is a red flag that you can look at in your life or anybody else's life that lets you know whether you are beginning to slip into that realm of doubting God to deliver you from your problems and your circumstance. To let you know that you're trusting a little bit more on yourself, or seeing the situation as you against the world versus God being for you. And that red flag, and it's without fail. Sometimes we do this subconsciously. The red flag I want to let you know about is when you talk more about your problem than you talk about your God. Now, a lot of you have heard that before, but it seems like we forget. Just in something as simple as answering a greeting. How you doing today? Well, I'm making it, brother. No, you ain't. You don't look like you're making nothing. What's the problem? Well, you know how it is, bro. I'm just going through, and, you know, it's hard. But God's good. All right, that was a little more problem than my God. It has to be equal parts. It's an easy equation. It has to be equal or greater God than the situation. Amen. God over your problems. God over your relationship. God over your money. God over your kids. God over your job. It's got to be God over everything or you in some trouble. Amen. There's some more Psalms that come out of this wilderness experience, if you will, that David's having. Psalm 142 and verse 7, where he says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." Psalm 54, looking at 6 and 7, "I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." Now, he's still ill in the wilderness. But in addition to his praise and worship, his prayer and supplication, one thing that David decides to do is he decides he's going to prophesy his own victory. Sometimes when you don't have a word, stop waiting on the prophet to come to your house. When you don't have a word, stop waiting on Sunday to come and have somebody to preach to you. Prophesy your own victory. Speak yourself a deliverance. Come on, somebody. David knew enough about himself. He knew that he was anointed. He knew the touch of the Holy Spirit was upon his life. And he said, "That's enough for me to start speaking victory. I haven't seen the thing that my God has said is mine. And so since I have not seen it yet, I'm going to prophesy victory over the trial that I'm currently in. There's no way that I can be swallowed up by this trial if I'm not sitting on the throne yet." Some of you got thrones that you're on your way to. But yet and still, it looks like the problem that you're facing is too great. Stop complaining about the problem. These things must be. Every man's work, and even greater in these days, these last days, every man's work must be tried by fire. We got to see what sort of work it is. Amen. Come on, that's out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3. We got to see what type of work it is. So you're going to have to go through some fire. In these last days, you will suffer persecution. In these last days, in these times, and Pastor Joseph has talked to us extensively about the times that we are in. In these last days, you will suffer persecution. You will suffer as a child of God, tribulation. But you got to prophesy your own way out. Come on, the life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is on the tip of your tongue, waiting to come out and get to work. There's a sword in your mouth. There's a sharp two-edged sword that you've got to hold up, and something needs to get cut in your life. Woo, I feel like preaching up in here. Praise God. It's a red flag when we cease to give God glory. And you know, sometimes I've realized that we do this because some of our brothers and sisters, praise God, are these hyper-spiritual individuals. Bless them. I mean, they make every situation spiritual. You know, I mean, we're going to go to dinner? Well, if God says so, you know, if the Lord blesses to make it to dinner time, then, you know, and the Lord tarries, then amen, and the word of the Lord comes unto me, and then, look, it's 5:30, we ain't ate yet, you want to go eat, because I'm leaving, waiting on a chariot of fire to come and take you to Denny's. You know what, look, just get up and go eat. And what happens is we go through issues, we go through trials and different circumstances that try our faith. And brothers and sisters in Christ, oftentimes not wanting to look like they're super spiritual, hyper spiritual brothers, you know, the crazy ones. We try not to look like so-and-so and such, and so we don't say nothing at all. You know, because what if God doesn't? Well, God's going to touch me. God's going to do this. God's going to heal me. God's going to deliver. Well, there's another pay thing going on. Military might not get paid this next check. Government then shut down. Nobody can. Well, God's going to pay me anyway. Whoa, wait. Now, Lord, are you trying to get me to say, where you want me? I don't want to put nothing at the door of the Lord that is not of the Lord, you know, so, and we rationalize why we don't speak deliverance and speak our own good and speak our own victory, because what if it don't happen? Come on. I stepped on somebody's toe, but I did it. I hurt you to heal you. I'm like a physical therapist today. I hurt you to heal you. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I wish that we could just be more God-like and be the God kind of Christians that you are alluded to in Romans, when Paul talks about our God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that don't exist as though they did. You know, that speak those things that are not as though they were. If we could be a little more like Abraham, who believed God, not ever having seen the promise fulfilled. If we could be like some of those Old Testament saints that we read about in Hebrews 11, that in the hall of fame of faith, who didn't have to see it to believe it. Sometimes I just wish we could be like the three Hebrew boys and say, you know what? God's going to take care of us. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to break. God's got my back. And even if he don't, I'm still going to worship him, because I know that he has the power to do it. It doesn't matter. And see, prophesying your victory, this David understood this, okay? And this is why he was able to do it so well and so freely. Prophesying victory is not about trying to manipulate an outcome. Prophesying victory is not about trying to do some mystical and magical thing to change events that will be. Prophesying victory has to do with me having the right focus and having enough resolve, a resolution to what I see in front of me, in order to have the faith to continue to walk in forward anyway. If these problems are not resolved, I won't move forward. But see, a word from God will resolve the problem enough to let me walk in faith. But if I don't have the word from God, can I speak my own word and keep moving? Because God said something yesterday that I still don't see today. So can I speak into my today in order to cross me over into tomorrow? I hope that went too deep. I have to speak today. I have to speak life today, right now, if I'm ever going to see what God has for me in the future. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing when you start confessing the word of Jesus Christ. When you start confessing the word over your life and saying stuff like, I am in him and he is in me. You start being able to apply the entire Bible to yourself in a correct manner. I'm in him and he's in me. What does that mean? Well, that means he will not suffer my soul to be left in hell, and he will not suffer me to see corruption. And that means that I am the head and not the tail. It means I am above and not beneath. It means I am an overcomer. And if he's in me, then what can I not do? Because I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. God didn't create me to fail. What did Jesus ever fail to do? Jesus, when he said, it is finished, that means it is accomplished. It is fulfilled. All prophecy referring to me, all prophecy pertaining to my life on this earth has been fulfilled. I'm talking to some saints today that I hope want to see all the words spoken by God about you fulfilled in your life. Every single thing. How much of a travesty would it be? And I've said this before. How tragic would it be for God to have something for you and you not get it? Amen. God's got something. Is there anybody in here that's believing God's going to do something for them in their life? Amen. About 80% of you. Good. About 80%. God is going to do something in your life. Again, this is not about trying to manipulate events. It's not about trying to change anything or change God's mind. It's about getting the attention of the God who will vindicate. And see, with the three Hebrew boys, it wasn't about, look, if I stand here and make this stand for God, I'm not getting thrown in the fire. No. You make the stand for God and you still get thrown in the fire, but you got God's attention who will be in the fire with you. I thought it was three men in the fire. What did I see? It's a fourth man in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. And I don't know about you, but I need the Son of God in the fire with me. With me. Amen. When you're going through stuff, it's hard. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. David is standing in this situation and he's saying, you know what, I've prophesied all kinds of good. I've prophesied all kinds of good and received evil. I've prophesied all types of light, and instead of witnessing the break of day, my situation has gotten darker. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But this seems like an awfully long night. I've been running for my life. I've been in caves, and I've been in peril. I've been amongst enemies, and I've been looking over my shoulder every single day. And now, all of a sudden, my family and the family of those who I run with, my group, they've all been taken captive. All been taken captive. But when God gives you a word in due season, that word is sent to bring about resolution. He inquires of God, and then God comes back and gives him another word. Let me submit to you now that if David had not spent all that time prophesying his own good, he would have never made it to this word. He's got people now trying to stone him. He's got people, he's already cried till he couldn't cry no more. He's been brought so low, and he gets up only to strengthen himself one more time in the Lord. And the word that he receives energizes him to the point. I got this picture of an energized bunny in my head. This word that he receives energizes him to the point where he can now move and fight one more fight. Fight one more round. Fight one more battle. Amen. And I like what the Bible says about the word of the Lord, how it is such a resolve, it is such a fine, has such a finality to it. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God says it, that settles it. Amen. You heard that before. If God says it, then it's a wrap. It's finished. It is forever settled in heaven. Jesus Christ is the word of God. If he says it's finished, then it's a wrap. Amen. It's over with. He said, pursue them. You will overtake them and recover all. First, we got to believe that God means what he says. Now, if God never speaks to you like that, trust me, you got enough word in scripture to go your entire life off of. If you never receive a prophetic word in some phenomenal prophetic ministry or service, some campground meeting, you have enough word about you as a child of God, knowing your identity as the redeemed of the Lord, knowing your identity as one whom he has saved and cleansed, knowing you're a child of God, there's enough in the word of God that applies directly to you for you to go from here all the way to heaven. Amen. But first you got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You believe that he is because you got saved. But now will you diligently seek him? If he don't answer you tonight, will you ask tomorrow? If you don't, can you be like that woman in the scriptures and the parables that asked the judge again and again and again and again and again consistently in prayer so that the judge finally said, you know what, I got to go ahead before she worried me to death. Let me go ahead. Let her son go. Give her a son back. You know, there's a lot of contradictory theology to that scripture, but in my Bible, in your Bible, it says the kingdom of God is like unto this parable. Amen. The kingdom, God's kingdom, the king reigns over and has dominion over this people. And if you are in his people, you are part of his kingdom, and you are to operate by praying without ceasing, like Paul said. Pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean I doubt that God heard me the first time. Praying without ceasing is me being one who diligently seeks him. It's not praying as if he didn't hear me. It's not praying saying, well, if I don't pray again and again and again, then he ain't gonna do something for me. I got to do this. This is not works. You're not making your prayer into works. You're putting faith into action. Because faith without works is what? It's dead. Amen. I want to encourage you today, and really I'm already done. I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. I want you to reaffirm your faith in who Scripture says you truly are. Reaffirm the fact that you are the righteousness of God. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what argument you and your spouse got in this morning. I don't care what happens tomorrow. Get up and encourage yourself like David. Shake yourself off and say, God, forgive me, but I'm moving forward. God, we're gonna wipe that out, and it's gonna be a new day. Because the sins that Christ died for weren't the sins that you tried to get covered under the blood before you got saved. He's a past, present, and future God. Come on now. If he died yesterday for sins that you had not even done yet because you weren't born. Come on. The righteous blood of Jesus Christ applies to every sin that you will ever commit. And I'm not saying that you're free to live how you want to, but you're free to live how you're supposed to. Amen. You don't have to worry about messing up every day. You're free to live life like you're supposed to. Amen. I want you to reaffirm in the scripture your true identity, who you are since you got saved. I want you to start speaking your own victory more than you start speaking about the problem. I want you to start making your prayers and your supplication to God equal or greater parts praise, worship, and thanksgiving, and what your supplication may be. Amen. And I want you to believe every word of God that comes from the pulpit, from your pastor, that lines up with the word of God if it's in scripture. I mean, I know you don't know every passage in the Bible, but at least be like the Berean church that goes back and researches and see if that thing was true. You got Apostle Google out there that can look up any scripture for you, okay? So if Apostle Google can bring it back to you, there's no excuse. Amen. Look that thing up. Let's not be lazy, saints. Amen. And as you get up and we're closing, amen. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If we can just stand all around the room, I want to pray for some of you if you have the need. If this word was just exactly what you needed, then praise God. You can go out here and get the Denny's. Get a ride. Don't wait for the chariot. Get a ride to Denny's. All right. Last thing I want to mention is your focus. Where is your focus, saints? Where is your focus? We don't see Jesus Christ walking around, even though we do see the body of Christ walking around, amen. Brothers and sisters who we can interact with and get help for any kind of situation. But we do discount the presence of the Lord here on earth because so often the Holy Spirit inside of us receives no conversation from us. We talk so much to people about what the issue is. And if you take your eyes off the Holy Spirit within, it's almost like Peter being in that water trying to walk to Jesus and getting his eyes on wind and waves and sinking. Every time we lose sight of that Holy Spirit within us, those gifts of the Spirit that lie on the inside of us, those fruits of the Spirit that are in us. We have the seed of that Spirit implanted. Come on, there ought to be some fruit too, right? When we get our eyes off of those little things, all right? And I say little things because it's a little thing to do. It's such a little thing to lose track. It's so easy to get our eyes off of them. It's so easy to get distracted. But yet and still, at times, it's so easy to keep our eyes focused on the big thing. He is the biggest thing. He is the biggest thing. And if we can stay focused on him, then there's nothing you can't do. There is nothing you can't do. I can say this again. There is nothing you can't do. That ought to be the first thing you prophesy yourself before you even walk out the door. There's nothing that I cannot do. Where I'm from, we say it like this. There ain't nothing I can't do. All right? And you say it with pride. There ain't nothing I can't do. Amen. If you've come here today and you feel like you need a special prayer, this has touched your heart, this has touched your heart, and you really want to go out of here doing better. You don't want this to be just another message that you hear, and when you go out, the birds of the field just pluck it up, and it's gone, and you start living like as if you never heard it. But you really want a little bit of extra help, and you want this sealed in your heart. If you want prayer for that, I want you to come up. Also, if there's some other things that you've been struggling with and you just want to identify that by faith with one of the prayer warriors, one of the elders, pastors, you just want to step up in faith and say, you know what, this is that thing. This is that thing that I'm about to step out of here and tackle by faith, because there is nothing that I cannot do. By faith in Christ, I can do all things. I want to pray for you. I also want to pray for you if you're not saved, because guess what? If you're not saved, then this power really doesn't apply to you. But it can.